Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the fire!
Welcome to Ignite Your Luminescent Life, Intuitive Business Mastery and SaaS with your host, Dr. Elena Espinel. I am a high-performance psychologist, an intuitive business mentor who is passionate about helping you awaken to your divine purpose and express it through passionate and profitable transformational businesses. I am super, super excited to have with me Dr. Elizabeth Armstrong as our guest today. And I really, really am super, super delighted to have her. So she is really going to be leading us and kind of taking us through this journey of how to tap into our share of the $72 trillion in natural products and services. I'm super excited to hear all about this. And how to balance our heart and our mind awareness in partnership with nature. Her intuitive skills and her educational background weaves both spirit and science into a strong framework that is designed around your unique talents. And so we will get to benefit from her wisdom to bring more greater well-being, to be able to keep money in your pocket, and to protect the earth. So welcome.
Oh, well, thank you very, very much for having me. I'm very honored to be here with you. And thank you, everybody else, for joining us on this radio show. Yes, tapping into all that abundance. You have opportunities that are beyond your wildest dreams.
Isn't it? And it's really quite amazing. So one of the things that I really, really love to do is to try to get our listeners to hear a little bit more about you and to get to know like the person behind all of the concepts that we will cover so that they can connect to you a little bit more. So I'd love for you to kind of share with us a little bit about how did you get into doing this work? Like, I'm sure life has all kinds of twists and turns, and I'm sure that you've gone through a few of those. And so I just kind of wanted you to share with us a little bit about your journey of how you have come to be doing the work that you're doing now.
Oh, yes, I'd love to share that. Well, I was raised outside of Washington, D.C., and I was 22 when I realized I could put a seed in the ground and it would actually grow. I know some of you think that's pretty crazy, but that's what happened. And then I traveled around, but due to certain situations, I became a single parent. Mm-hmm. And as a single parent, I decided to go to the university. So that's what I did. I was a high school dropout. I was one of those hippies from way back when, and started going to the university. And when I started, I thought, what's going to be my major? Mm-hmm. You know? And I decided that people need to eat, so I am going to learn about food and how to grow food. And it was fabulous. And one thing led to another. I ended up kept moving through and then got my PhD in biology. Mm-hmm. And realized I had a very strong passion for the environment. And I taught environmental sciences. And that's what got me to where I am now, to want to help people to learn about how they can tap into the abundance in the environment.
So I love that you talk about this, partly because I think I am a firm believer that we have to teach some of the things that we have to learn. And so, you know, I focus on teaching a lot about mindset and money, abundance, and intuition, because those are things that I've had to learn because I've struggled through these things. And so I'm kind of curious. I mean, I imagine that being a single mom and kind of being faced with that situation of like, okay, so what do I do? And I think it's awesome that you chose going to school. But I'm kind of curious as to like, and maybe this will be weaved through what you're sharing, which that would be okay, you know, as to like, how did you shift from that place of being like, I'm a single mom, I don't know what to do, to kind of going to this place of like abundance and, you know, I can grow anything and I have access to anything. And
well, oh yeah, single parent. My focus, well, to tell you the truth, the whole thing about being a single parent, I was moving from my heart.
Mm-hmm.
My goal was to be there for my children.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were in school, I felt like I needed to be doing something, so I went into higher education, but still didn't have that abundance mindset.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't come later. Didn't come later until I was well into have raised my kids and things got really stressful, as anybody that has raised a teenager knows how it can get.
Uh-huh.
And then getting my degrees as I moved up the academic ladder again,
mm-hmm.
it was stressful.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to this point to where I didn't even know which direction to go in.
Mm-hmm.
I was so just trying anything, grabbing at straws.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to unfold.
Mm-hmm.
The lifestyle started to unfold on how I could be abundant and how to manage my thinking and my thoughts to bring about abundance and prosperity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I developed a few techniques to assist
mm-hmm.
on how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it paid off. It just paid off and everything started coming together really nicely. And it really was a bit of a surprise to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this really works, and
mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying it. Although while I was teaching environmental science, what happened was it helped me to recognize the challenges that we're facing right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our world is in a pickle.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people are recognizing that and not really clear on what direction to go into.
Mm-hmm.
Although what happened with me is I realized I had been designed all my life to be exactly where we are now.
Mm.
And I feel that about everybody that's watching right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a divine plan or whatever that when we were all young, we were had certain interests that got our attention.
Yep.
And we learned because we like doing it.
Yeah.
So I feel like each and every one of us, each and every one of the people that are paying right now, have the skills and the intelligence and the know-how and the wisdom on their specific type of contributions to the world. It's just a matter of finding out how to make it fit in this system gone wild that we find ourselves in.
I so appreciate you saying that, because I think that that is a message that so many of us need to be hearing. You know, it's something that I often say, but I think that we forget, you know, just we are living in a world that is, you know, like comparison and all of these stuff, you know, that it's really not what our divine nature really is. And so it's really being able to start anchoring back to who we really are and really honoring this special gift that each of us have, and to not compare, to actually be willing to say like, yeah, that's awesome that you have those special gifts, and I have these other different special gifts that are actually a synergy, right? That we get to contribute and collaborate and round out. And so it's not better or worse or but different, and that those differences are actually what we need right now.
Exactly. The way I see it, it's like everything is a big puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And each one of us is that unique shape of a puzzle
mm-hmm.
that fits in to that place where we're all working in harmony together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although what we're used to right now, we're used to this system that is competitive. It's kind of a male-dominated system that's competitive and ego and who's going to win and who's going to get the up. Although what's happening right now, it is everything's shifting to incorporate the feminine. Women make up the 90% of the purchasing decision. Women in upper management and board positions help businesses to make 55% more money. So shifting to the what the woman contributes, and this is what you were saying, instead of being competitive, a woman is more collaborative. And I'm watching these other businesses take off that are embracing collaboration, embracing nurturing and working together and intuition. Intuition is becoming really big. As a sideline, I will say that I was teaching environmental science, but I didn't feel comfortable with how fast things were going towards people working in harmony in their environment. But people weren't buying that they contributed to climate change. Rightly so, because they didn't really contribute to climate change. They did. Really, people's behavior is dominated by their environment. And what created the environment were the lifestyles created from the Industrial Revolution. That was a little over a couple hundred years ago. Such as zoning. You know, and so you fit in with the Joneses, you get a house, you get a car, you get a driveway, you, the house is in one place, shopping is over here. And as a result, we became dependent on the cars. That's an example of how our behavior was dictated. But people weren't buying that. So what happened was, I have a friend who is a spiritual person, and she puts on spirit fairs. So I said, well, you know, how about if I have a booth at your spirit fair? It was a skill I had way back when, because I say my mother was a true shaman, you might say, and I was doing seances before I was driving a car. My sister was born on Halloween, so it just was part of my life, but it went into the back closet because of the perception of that. But now, when I got a booth at the Spirit Fair, and I started making money. They started giving me their names. They were joining my list because that's what society wants right now. Society, they're ready for that spiritual aspect in more of a holistic way. And I think that embraces good eating, healthy habits, meditation, and being able to tap into your guides.
Absolutely. So I love that you're bringing together all of these pieces because, you know, like, I don't know, I was talking to somebody and they were asking something about intuition, you know, and how much people use intuition and whether they use it in their business. And I'm like, my entire business is based around intuition, you know. It's like I lead with it and that's the first part of it because I feel like without it, we are overcomplicating things, you know. In some ways, even as I've evolved myself, I've kind of realized just how much our minds like to overcomplicate things, and that when we can like let go of that monkey ego mind that it's like wanting to plan everything, and we can kind of just drop into our intuition and just kind of trust, then, you know, like things are just okay. Like things are much easier and better, and they flow much better and simpler, you know.
Exactly. And you said a really pivotal word there, and that's trust. In the competitive model, you know, we've lost that. I've found I lost the ability to trust. You don't know who you can trust because everyone's trying to be better than everybody else. Where when you can learn how to trust and start walking a path where you can be trusted, which I love about the online environment, because it's all about giving away stuff to earn that trust and working with people to earn that trust. And it takes time to earn that trust.
It does.
And when you can develop that ability to really learn how to feel comfortable working with other people, in that, I think you can also learn part of that other essence to trust is spirit.
Absolutely.
Or your guides, or those, whatever it is, call it what you want, divine, mm-hmm. God, angels, whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's a higher source of power that we can tap into right. that will help guide us
right.
to be successful and prosperous. Mm-hmm. Prosperous.
That's great. Yes, I love it. So, Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about this concept or this idea of the $72 trillion in natural products and services. I know that this is something that you kind of talk about and how to tap into this stuff. And I know that it's associated with sort of an abundance and prosperity mindset. So, you know, tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay, I keep going back to business because that's what I do is I help professionals, especially professional women, mm-hmm. to attract wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and homeowners, anybody can do this.
Right.
When you tap into natural products and services, simple things, it's all out there, solar panels,
mm-hmm.
or what the natural system does is actually clean your water, that
mm-hmm.
It takes up toxins out of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
Natural products and services are things that the natural system has done forever. But what happened with the financial system we have now and the businesses that are kind of crashing, they're crashing because they neglected the environment.
Uh-huh.
So the scientists got together and they did the research to find out, okay, so let's put a value on natural products and services, and they came up with that $74 trillion. And it's probably more than that. I'm not sure if they really incorporated the real essence of the spiritual aspect as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually been shown that if someone has an operation and mm-hmm. they're in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
if they're looking out on green space, then they have a faster recovery rate.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're tapping into just a source of power.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also found that natural environments, they impact pregnancy outcomes,
mm-hmm.
blood pressure, and all these other health factors. So that's another aspect of that value. The $72 trillion is pretty much cleaning up the mess that we have from businesses that before it was considered that they could dilute the toxins by putting it in the water mm-hmm. or into the environment.
Mm-hmm.
What happens, we created too many toxins and it didn't clean up anymore.
Right.
So by using plants to help clean that up, then we're getting a cleaner environment. It's cleaning up our water. And
mm-hmm.
oh my gosh, we know what's happening with our water right now
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
Flint and a couple of other examples.
Yeah.
I've heard this one thing where a woman stuck her child into a bathtub of water and the baby started screaming. And so she took the baby out and it had burn marks around its middle
yeah.
at the level of the water.
Yeah.
And now in Flint, they have to use bottled water to drink and I'm guessing to bathe and everything else
mm-hmm.
because they can't use the water anymore.
Because it's too polluted? It's
too polluted.
Mm.
It's an outcome of the pollutants that we've created. So that gives you an example by bioremediation using
yeah.
plants
yeah.
and other organisms can help clean up that environment. So that's another of the value.
That makes sense.
I'm about to launch another product, too, that it's a water product. They're water units. But that's still on the back burner right now. So.
Well, but so what's fascinating, you said something about green space inducing higher recovery and better health and, you know, improved pregnancies and that kind of thing. So I'm kind of curious as to is this only in its natural form, like actual being out in nature, or would, let's say, a picture of nature or like a mural of nature or a, you know, like, I'm just curious.
Well, actually, I think that's a very good question because one of the things I started to do with my marketing is post pictures.
Uh-huh.
So I posted pictures, I need water, I posted
yeah.
pictures with sayings and phrases on it in Facebook. And I found that a lot more people were impacted by the pictures of flowers and plants, as opposed to even putting people on there.
Uh-huh.
So it made me realize that people are impacted even by seeing a picture of a landscape.
Yep.
So you're very perceptive to pick that up, because yes, I did notice that.
That's beautiful. That's awesome. I mean, and obviously, I imagine that actually being out in nature would be the best. I know that my husband has this trick that is funny, because when he sees me being just like really stressed out or really crabby, he'll just be like, okay, like get dressed. And I'm like, he's like, just get dressed. And he just like makes me encourages me to get dressed and put my shoes on. And then like the first thing he does is that he'll just drive me out into a natural area or a park, or, you know, and within like 2 minutes of me being there, I'm back to me being me, you know, and I'm like happy and just enjoying things, and, you know, and so it's like, it's something that he noticed pretty early on about me, and he's used in our marriage very effectively, because, you know, it's like, it's kind of getting me back to my natural energetic vibration, and then just like all of the other stress just dissipates, and, you know, then it's easier to deal with all the other stuff. And it's really easy to forget, you know, like it could be like so close to you, yet we forget, you know, and then we kind of get all buried by whatever stuff we have created.
And I love the way you put that, your natural energetic vibration.
Yeah.
That's perfect. I love that term. I might have to quote you on that.
Well, I mean, I think that it's, you know, one of the things that I often teach people is sort of being able to understand what their natural energetic vibration is, so that then they know how to come back to it. So I work a lot with empaths and other like healers and therapists and, you know, people that are doing great work, but often, you know, they're pulled down by other people's thoughts and emotions and other people's shit, basically, right? And so it's super important to be able to really know what your natural energetic vibration is, so that then you can go into an environment and, you know, support and heal, and then know how to come back and know what's yours and what's not yours, and, you know.
Exactly. I must admit, one of my best healing experiences occurred when I got away from the television.
Yeah.
I went to stay at another place where there was no internet access.
Mm-hmm.
There was no television. There was, I didn't even think there was radio. I went 2 weeks with nothing but me and food and nature, and I put in a garden, and it was so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never gone back.
Yeah.
Not ever gone back.
Yeah.
So that's the synthetic artificial as opposed to the natural.
Right. And so, I mean, and the thing is, I mean, for me, it's really the balance, right, of really honoring and being so appreciative of all of the technology that we have, like the fact that we could be doing this, right? You know, a little bit about, like, people get to see what it's like to be developing some of those relationships, you know, because they get to hear and see us interacting with one another, and this was impossible, you know, many, many, many years ago. And at the same time, it's really honoring the fact that we can do this, right? And then at the same time, figuring out, okay, so how do we balance that?
Yes.
Right? So
managing the technology.
Yes. So
effectively.
Tell us a little bit about, because there's two pieces, both about activating heart center awareness that you talked about, and then opening up to receiving nature's riches, which I'm sure are both related to each other and kind of.
Yes.
So maybe you can talk to us or guide us through our process and whatever feels best or easiest for you.
Well, you know, it took me time. I wrote a book, Align with the Wild,
mm-hmm.
and it was easy for me to write about the natural stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was writing about the information, I was guided to shift to the heart and be in the heart. So then I didn't know anything about it, and I did the research. I really looked deep into the heart. Mm-hmm. And that's where the key was. It really, really, the key is in the heart. So, and it takes practice. You've got to develop some techniques and shift to the heart. And we all use it anyway, because if you have kids, if you have pets, all of those, you know, and any other way that you, if you're driving in nature and you might see a bird, that feeling you get, that's you're shifting down to the heart. Mm-hmm. And really, the heart has a 5,000 times greater electromagnetic force than the mind. So you really have more of a reach if you shift to the heart. And when you go there and can then start moving and managing from that, your skill levels go up. And it took me a while. This may sound silly, but one of the first things I did was I went and looked out the window and I said, okay, I just wrote about this. Let me see if it works. And I just put my attention to the heart and looked out and embraced these plants with love, and they started moving. And I went, whoa, okay, maybe this works. So it seems really simple, and it is. And by going through a systematic way, you can actually get there. And but it's simple to just feel that love and then embrace. I went and visited somebody, and they were taking care of their neighbor's property. And the neighbor, 200 acres, and they had a horse, donkey, goose, cats, dogs, chickens. And I went to help him feed this entourage of critters. And he told me about how the duck had come to his place, and it was a big deal, and he had to call the lady. She had to come get it, and it was chasing him. So anyway, I go with him to go feed these critters, and he's not there. I mean, she's not there. She's on vacation. We fed the dogs, cats, chickens, goose, and then went up to feed the horse donkey. And while we were up there, here comes the goose. And he's watching that goose, and it's walking around him, and he's scared. And so we finished with the horse donkey and started walking back, but there was a fork in the road. One fork went to where the goose was supposed to come at the house, and the other went to his place. But he started walking, and he kept walking, and it was about 60 feet past this fork, and he said, come on. And I finally stopped and said no, and he just went a little bit farther. It was almost like it was something he didn't want to do, and he was scared that the goose was going to come, knowing that it probably would. So I'm about 60 foot from that fork in the road, and here comes the goose, and lo and behold, it started coming towards us. And instead of moving from a fear mindset, I kind of just surrounded that goose in love and told him to go back to the house. And he changed direction.
Wow.
And went the other way back to the house. And I barely even knew this goose.
Wow.
It was a brand new friendship.
Yes.
And so it confirmed that I was doing the right thing. The key was I surrounded in love. And you've heard the phrase, love can move mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And it really can.
Yeah.
You know, you just be in that love space, and you can do anything.
So you're talking to somebody that totally believes in this stuff, and you know, so we're buddies on this journey. And at one point I really wasn't, you know. At what point, even though I was highly, highly intuitive, I was also very skeptical. And, I was raised by two physicians, and then obviously having a PhD makes you be a little bit more in your head and not so much in your heart. And so I'm wondering if you can talk to those people that might be listening to us that are kind of at that place where they're like, okay, well, this is kind of woo-woo, and like that seems like too simple, and you know, what might have helped you, or what might have shifted things for you, or you know, if you have something that you could speak to that.
Yes, actually, I do. I do have something to speak to that. I think one of my biggest shifts was as I stayed in my head, I started to crash, and I did crash, and I ended up homeless, living in my car with two dogs and a wolf.
Okay. Wow.
And I thought, let me see, I've got a PhD. I've worked very hard. I have two kids. I love to work. What's happened?
Yeah.
And what had happened was I was separate from the spiritual part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are our environment, and our environment's crashing.
Yeah.
And we're talking business environment, finances, overpopulation, pollution, all that. Whether people want to buy into that is not what's important.
Right.
It's happening, whether you believe it or not. I'm sorry, I'm getting really hardcore
here.
No,
I love it. I love it, though. I mean, I have this belief that in some ways our results dictate really what's happening internally, right? So it doesn't really matter what we say. But if it's something like whatever it is that we're creating, that's what we're creating, you know? And so so in some ways, if people are like, well, this is not, I don't believe in this, or this is pretty woo-woo, but if what they're creating in their life is not really the thing that it's bringing them joy, it's not, you know, things are crashing, right? Then perhaps,
yeah, they're crashing.
Right? Then perhaps they might be more open or willing to then try something different, right? Because what I know I'm going to butcher this quote because I always do. I don't know why I can't remember quotes very well, but it's something about like, we cannot create solutions with the same mindset that created the problem or something
exactly
along the lines, right? So we need to be able to shift out of the box that has created those problems into something different.
Exactly. And I think part of what you said, it's important to be open because
mm-hmm.
right now a lot of people are closed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So closed. And if there's anything I learned from going to the university, is the professor, you've got a committee and here's all your professors and you start talking and they go, oh, sorry, we don't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, always pushing you beyond
right
your limit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening right now. People are getting pushed beyond their limit.
Mm-hmm.
And to go there, they need to be open. Because when you're closed, then you're closing yourself to opportunities. Because
mm-hmm.
there are, right now, there are an abundance of opportunities right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in nature, it's all there. The industry, the green industry, for an example, with the wind,
mm-hmm.
wind power, Oklahoma actually put out a bid for more kilowatts because they had more people and they had to produce more electricity. And wind outbid coal and oil.
Wow.
I mean, the numbers are all there. They're all showing you. And when you're closed, some people don't have to be. Some people can stay closed. If you've already got your retirement and all you need to do, and you already have plenty of money coming in, you don't have to be open to new things.
Right.
But the younger generation and a lot of people that really are moving to get their business off the ground, it's important to be open to what's working. And that's, you know, with school, statistics tells the thing. The numbers tell it.
Yeah.
And the numbers are showing that not only green, but also spirituality
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
holistic way of walking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if, you know, if people don't want to be open, that's okay too, but that's their choice.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think about, I mean, what I say to people now is like, I hope that they can be more open and willing to try new things before they get like the 5x10, you know, because for me, that's kind of how it was. Like I was just, I was very stubborn and very close-headed, you know, and so I feel like there's like all of these things that happened and, you know, like literally, you know, with hit with a 5x10 and the rug was pulled from underneath me and I had, you know, what I think most people call a dark night of the soul, but it was not just a night. It was like 3 years of just absolute mystery. And I think that it was precisely during that period where, like, you know, it's going to make me cry a little bit because, I mean, people kind of talk a little bit about being brought down to their knees.
Exactly.
You know, and so I think that that's, I mean, that's kind of what it was for me. It was like, there was nothing else. There was nothing else that I could do but just be like, okay, like, you know, and it was pretty painful. And so for me, it's like, if people could be willing to open up and to feel their heart and to experience something different without having to go through that, then, you know, more kudos to them, you know, like it's going to be a much better, I don't know, much better route.
Yes. Oh, yes, exactly. Although, I guess I learned that early on too, early on. Well, I shouldn't say too early, that we need the growth.
Yeah.
And it takes falling down to grow. Exactly. Because if things were, I believe if things were easy all the time, then we wouldn't grow.
Yeah. You know,
if we had everything we needed, sometimes we have to fall down because, and I think this is part of the intuitive part.
Yes.
Because you're being nudged to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And if we try to move on our own mm-hmm. as one individual, it's way too big for that.
Yep. Yep.
Way too big. It, okay. We need to have collaborative relationship with other people. We need to tap into our spirit guides. We need all of that to create this holistic being, to be the best that we can be.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you talked about like opening up, and so I'm curious as to whether you have a process or something that you like, you know, what's the best way for people to actually open up to be able to receive some of these riches and some of the abundance that's all around us?
Yeah, well, we've all heard about it, meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, for a long time, it was hard for me to meditate because I have a very active brain. And if I try to be really quiet, for some people, they could go and lie down and go to sleep. Although sometimes my brain would be so active.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was say, okay, active brain, let's see if, how many times you can count to 500.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And next thing I know, you know, about the third or fourth hundred, I'd be asleep.
Uh-huh.
So, but what we all are familiar with is meditation and hearing about that. And I don't still my mind, and I've not really gone and gotten my mantra or anything like that, but I actually created a mantra. I was
mm-hmm.
asked to speak at the American Dowser Society and created my my own mantra
mm-hmm.
that I developed from watching the ocean.
Mm.
And it's that repetition again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As I get real relaxed and I repeat that mantra, then thoughts come in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ideas come in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the second part to it is gratitude.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you say, thank you, I got it, then you're acknowledging that information coming in.
Yeah.
And you say, thank you, write it down, jot it down, whatever, and then the next one comes in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When those messages try to come in, for an example, like if you have a loved one that's crossed over to the other side and you're so depressed and upset, if you can be still and listen and know that they're still with you and they haven't gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And listen for their messages, because now they are an ancestor
yeah.
to help and empower you to keep moving on this physical plane, which is can be a challenge. It can be really big. So there's messages and guidance there all the time, and finding a way to be still. If you can't meditate, then create your own mantra, or if you have a favorite song
mm-hmm.
or something. There are different ways to do it, but my technique was to develop this mantra about the environment. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I say that, and because I say it over and over, then I can still get the messages in between the words.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so funny that you said that your mind was so active when you started meditating. I still remember the first time that I meditated, and I think I said the clock for like 5 minutes or something, you know. So I'm closing my eyes in what like feels like the biggest torture in the world, you know. And I like when I saw that it's been like really long time, I like, you know, peek in, like open my eyes, and I realize it's only been like a minute and a half, and I'm going like, oh my God, you have to be kidding me. Like, I can't do this, you know.
This is not working.
Because my mind is always like going. And so it's kind of funny that sometimes now, you know, my husband's like, I don't know how you can like meditate for like 40 or 50 minutes. And that just seems pretty natural for me. But it's taken many, 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 many years of practice. And one of the things that I found, especially at the beginning, I did not know, and this is kind of some of the nerdy pieces about me being a psychologist, I did not know how people thought. But I realized that many of the ways in which I think is that I thought in pictures. And so that when I was first trained to meditate, I was trained in transcendental meditation, which they give you one word. And so I would be doing the breath and the one word. But in between, my mind was like super active, was like picture, 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 you know, like om, picture, 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 like om. And like, so it just was like very, like it just felt like I was a battle, you know, like it did not feel soothing or calming at all. And so one of the things that I decided was that since I was thinking in pictures, that I needed to create a visual mantra that went along with my breath. And so, and for me, like the ocean is, it's the nature that's like really calming. Just being in front of the ocean, and that is just a very calming thing for me. And so I kind of created this picture of like the ocean, you know, and like I had in, you know, in my mind what like a sunset and all this stuff, you know. But then I started adding that, and that was actually the thing that really helped me be able to start quieting my mind for longer periods. Which is kind of fascinating. I don't use that anymore, but that was something that you just kind of jotted my mind when you said like how difficult it was at the beginning.
And I think another important key is having a support group. Mm-hmm. Because when I started my business, I thought, oh, I can do this on my own, and there was a lot of free stuff online, and I was listening to it and putting my stuff together. Although it kept having an active mind and with all the opportunities, mm-hmm. it kept changing all the time.
Yeah.
So at some point I recognized how important it was to have a support group,
mm-hmm.
and to have coaches that mm-hmm. I work with to mm-hmm. start working with me with staying focused and getting another perspective of what I was working on.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're back at this, when you think you're here and you're the one and you can pull it all off and everything, the thing is that we have to look at other people and their perspectives,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I realize I'd say one thing and somebody'd say, what did you say? Like, oh, okay, well, I guess I need to reword it and clarify
mm-hmm.
a little bit
right.
more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be very, very important to have a good support group, not only emotionally if you have friends, but I think partly because our families have split apart so much over time,
right,
that we need to still bring back together that family network, you know, that although it might be more kindred spirits like friends and stuff, to have mm-hmm. that support group around to help emotionally and to help with, and professionals with your business to really move forward. So I think that was another of the techniques that I took on, was to make sure I had a good, strong support group working with me.
I completely agree. I think that it's, I would say that it's one of the most powerful things, for sure. You know, I've been leading groups for, oh God, I don't know how long, 16, 17 years. And mm-hmm. and I feel like though my clients individually do have some pretty amazing transformations, the ones that actually have like those like quantum leap type transformations and are able to sustain them for the duration are those that are involved in group work, masterminds, you know, support groups, whatever, however you want to call them, you know, but that they're really committed to their growth and to the growth of the group. And it's really quite powerful to see and very satisfying for me to see the growth and how a community, like you really become, you become sort of like a petal of this beautiful flower. You know?
Perfect. I love that the way you put that is a petal of a beautiful flower, because that's what you're creating is a beautiful flower.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Seeing it from that perspective. Oh, that was perfect. Back to nature again.
Yes, yes. So, and it's kind of funny because that's one of the things that I was thinking about is how do you integrate the nature and environmental part of, you know, your passion into the work that you do with women and helping them create wealth? And, you know, help me understand how you bring these two pieces together.
Well, of course, the big part of it is I spend a lot of time in nature.
Yes, I bet.
You know, yeah. I do. I spend a lot of time in nature. And because of that, it's almost like I have a relationship with nature,
mm-hmm.
with the birds,
mm-hmm.
with the whatevers.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I start working with people, I just incorporate that into it, you might say. I find out what's going on with the people. And I had this one client who was experiencing really severe depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. I said, well, do you have any plants in your house? She goes, no. Well, you know, and then she started explaining her environment, and there was other people living in the house and all this. And I said, well, you know, where's your sacred space? And that, so she got plants, put it in her sacred space, and it immediately started impacting her attitude.
Mm.
It just really started impacting her attitude. Because when you look at it, when you look at your energy centers,
yeah.
Plants are green. And what energy center is green? Your heart.
Your heart. Yeah, yeah.
Your heart.
Yeah.
When people get married, they all get married usually in the spring when all the plants are putting on their green growth.
It's true.
And so it automatically happens. And by sharing with them not so much just the natural environment, but what I do is start working with them with their environment, with some feng shui and finding out how their environment is and how they can restructure that to best serve them.
Okay.
So it takes it one step farther than the natural environment, the environment in which they live, work, their friendships, and all of that, doing a complete assessment. And then turning around and using my spiritual guidance to know which direction to go into.
Okay, I'm loving this, and you know I always trust. Well, I always trust that there's, you know, this like very beautiful divine flow to how things go, and you know I always want my listeners to be able to learn something or to get an insight about something. But I always also get insights about things when I am interviewing people, which is like really powerful, and I'm really appreciative of it. And so so I'm going to be super vulnerable here and very transparent about something that I normally don't actually talk about or share. And that is that I am... I get so focused on the work that I'm doing and serving others that a lot of times I'm not taking much care of like my immediate environment, and I am like I'm cluttery, so I will like, you know, like have these piles of, you know, books and piles of papers and that kind of stuff, and so for a little while now, I keep getting this this guidance that the thing that I need to do is like clean up my environment, that I need to like clean up my environment and get rid of stuff, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I know I need to do that, but I don't have time right now. I have to do this thing and I gotta da-da-da, you know, and I just like, and I just keep hearing this thing and keep hearing this thing, but there's no so they're not giving me really a reason. They're just saying this is what you need to do, but they're not really giving me a reason. And of course, I'm being kind of the rebellious child that, you know, when I was being told, like, do this, if I wasn't really given a reason why I needed to do it, then I wasn't doing it. And so as I'm kind of listening to you saying some of the stuff, so I'm being very transparent because I'm just kind of wondering how does cleaning up your environment then relate to your ability to receive the gifts that are meant for you to receive.
It's all about energy. The whole universe is all about energy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have stuff there that the energy may have become stagnant,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
see it as a creek or a river.
Mm.
If it becomes blocked, mm-hmm, and it becomes a pond, mm-hmm, it can become stagnant.
Huh?
A lake will eventually fill in.
Mm-hmm.
So it just gets filled, and then it's no longer there. So you don't want the energy to be stagnant. You want the energy to be moving at all times.
Okay.
And by making sure the energy in your system is moving,
yes.
I'll give you an example. Is I decided, okay, I'm going to start cleaning up my house because, mm-hmm, I get my degrees, had my kids,
right,
life got in the way, my house became completely closets jam-packed, everything's. And then once the kids started leaving home, I said, okay, little by little, I'm going to start cleaning this up. And I did, and I started with a closet.
Uh-huh.
And I started emptying things out. Well, what's going to happen is you're probably going to start dealing with baggage. And that's probably what prevents you from working through that energy. Because when you circulate the energy in your living environment, you circulate the energy within your mind, within your heart, within your thinking. There may be things that you're not dealing with, so it stays there, and that's okay.
No, but that's, I mean, this is actually really, it's powerful, right? Because in some ways, it's part of the, and I usually don't, like, I'm very good at listening to my guidance. I'm really good at this, even little things, you know, like over the weekend, I was at a pretty in-depth retreat and seminar, and at some point, I was getting ready, and I, like, felt like I needed to put on all these hair ties in my hand, which I normally don't, you know, and so as we were leaving, my friend's like, why do you have all those hair ties? And I said, I'm not really sure why I put them on, you know, and then later on, there was, like, stuff that we were doing, and turns out that I was going to need them for me to help her with something, and she's like, oh, so you, apparently you needed them for me. And, you know, but it was like, even just this, like, subtle stuff, I usually, like, you know, I just go with it and I do it, even if I don't know. And this is just something that I know that I've resisted. And so just, like, even just bringing it up and you hear, like, mentioning it, I'm like, okay, there you go. That's, like, that's the next little area I'll stretch.
Yes, yes. Divine guidance is there all the time. Mm-hmm. And when we're tapped into it, we're guided to be at the perfect place at the perfect time to be of service.
Exactly.
And I can relate to that. I mean, I sold my house and started traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like each place I've been guided to go to, I've been able to be of service.
Mm.
In some way, I ended up in France. I ended up on an organic farm.
Wow.
I showed up to visit a friend. And when I was visiting, I went around the town and said, well, you know, is there some place where I can go stay and maybe I can clean or do something,
mm-hmm,
and they'll give me a place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Two different people said, okay, right over there to that farm. I went, okay. So I went over and started talking to the guy. And as it turned out, he needed me as much as I needed him.
Mm-hmm.
And I started cleaning. And just to give you a hint, it was like, it was a 300-year-old farm, three generations on this farm. He was the first one to be a farmer.
Oh, wow.
His father was professional. His sister was professional. And here he had some physical, I don't want to say challenges, well, physical challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Although he decided to be the farmer.
Uh-huh.
And what happened was he ended up taking care of his father who had dementia.
Wow.
And then the father was moved out of the house. And I told him, I said, well, just put me where you think I should be.
Uh-huh.
And he ended up putting me in his father's bedroom.
Oh, wow.
To start cleaning.
Oh, wow.
And I was fine with it. And I had, like, the best bedroom in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just started cleaning and unfolded. And he was so, so appreciative to have me there,
mm-hmm,
because it was, you know, I helped him work through. It was like he was almost paralyzed. He couldn't even go into his father's bedroom,
mm-hmm,
to help to start moving that energy. We're, yeah, back with moving the energy.
Yeah. 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 That's really, really powerful. That's really, really powerful. So, Dr. Elizabeth, can you tell us where people can, like, get to know more about you and, you know, how they can access you and reach you? And
okay. Well, thank you for asking. I have a special gift for everyone. Okay. It is a special report to help you to lower your cost of living and help protect the environment. You can go to my website, www.drelizabetharmstrong.com. The doctor is abbreviated, so it's drelizabetharmstrong.com. Go get your free report. You can contact me from there. Send me an email, and we can set up a time to chat. I will do a 45-minute free session to see how we interact together. I'd like to get a feel for people before I work with them. And so feel free to go to my website, get the freebie, and contact me. I'd be more than happy to get to know you.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And my website, again, is drelizabetharmstrong.com. And I think that that's also really great because in some ways, I always think that there's I think about money in three different parts. The first one is how to make money. You know, like I focus a lot on helping people like how to make money. But a lot of times it's the second part of like how to like keep your money, you know, because a lot of times we're making a lot of money, but we are draining the money just as quickly. And so, you know, how much money you make doesn't really matter if you don't really know how to, you know, save money, how to hold on to the money, so to speak, you know. And then the third part, I think of like, it's basically like the multiplier, right? Like how do you multiply the money that you already have so that it just, you know, goes into creating legacies and that kind of thing. And so, but I really feel like that that middle part a lot of times is very unacknowledged and we don't really pay attention to it. And it's one of the biggest problems that I see right now is that a lot of times people are making lots of money, but they don't really know how to hang on to it. So just even what you're saying about like how to put money in your pocket and how to protect the environment, how to save, I think that's super, super valuable.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. How to manage money effectively. That report can help people save on their utility bills by at least 40%, if not 60%.
Wow. Wow.
And that's monthly.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. So I have been just incredibly delighted to have you as my guest. And I'm just wondering if there's any like last minute thoughts or anything that you would want to leave our listeners with.
Oh, yes. I've heard one time that we are all connected by maybe 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
So when you meet someone, you interact with someone, look for those similarities. Mm-hmm. Because as you and I have now spoken now for an hour, I just feel like we're kindred spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we have more to do together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because we have so much in common.
Absolutely. And it's so beautiful. And I'm just going to, what you say is so important, and I'm going to reemphasize something that you said, and it's just that openness of really being able to show up with an open heart and a willingness to really connect and get to hear each other and get to know each other at that soul level in some way. And I think that's what creates meaningful and beautiful relationships. So I'm appreciative for you bringing that into our space today.
Oh, thank you so much. You have a very beautiful soul.
Thank you. Thank you. I so appreciate you. And,
yeah.
You know, I will be just delighted to be sending this out to all of our listeners. And I hope that you and I will stay connected. I'm sure that we will because I can see a lot of synergy between us. So for the rest of you, you know, just delighted to have Dr. Armstrong with us. And until the next time, defy the ordinary, become extraordinary. This is Dr. Elena Espinal with Luminescent Life signing off.
Yeah.
Fire Radio.